what I want to do in life would be to, I guess, understand people's perspective more. So I kind of want to understand like everyone's different perspective and like how their brain works and why they think this way. Is it because they grew up this way? Did they learn something when they grew up? It kind of ties in with me traveling the world. I experienced different cultures.
We'll figure it out later. Anyways, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Did you just get back from a trip?
Me? Yeah. I just spent the whole weekend in Portland.
Looked fun.
With some friends. Yeah.
Were you just there just to go?
Yep. Because honestly, I've never really visited Portland. Mm-hmm. So I was just like, you know what? I'm not doing anything this week. I'm going to just hit up my friends in Portland, my new friends in Portland. I just only met them one other time, which is like this. Yeah, it's like this new other group. It's kind of like
that's cool.
Similar to Yes Fam, but I just hit them up and I was like, hey, I'm going to come into Portland this week. Can I crash at your place? And then she was like, yeah, all right. And I was like, okay. Have you been on any recent trips like within like a past month or so?
I went to San Diego like a month ago, and it was kind of funny though because I've been to San Diego a billion times, but I always go to visit my family, so whenever I'm there I just kind of like hang out with my family. I don't really do anything. And this time I just went by myself, and then I met a friend out there who lives there and went to all of these places that I have never been before, and I had so much fun.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Nice. I really just like wanted to go and sit on the beach and like be in the ocean, and that, I mean, I got to do that, but then I got to do so much more stuff too.
Hell yeah, that's awesome.
So I mean, first of all, thank you for doing this again. I appreciate
it. Oh yeah, of course.
Yours was like one of the first episodes that I did, so I feel like even though it was a good episode, like all the first season was like not really good quality, you know what I mean? Like I was still like figuring everything out, so yeah. Like there's a lot of people I'm really glad coming back and like I can do it better.
Yeah,
but
did
also
you did you do Vinny yet?
No, but I want to, definitely want to. But yeah, that's another reason too why I wanted to go tour a studio space, because I'm like, if I'm talking to people here, I want to do this in person.
Yeah.
Like, it's so much better. So,
I would fly in. Shit. That's really cool. To, like, sit in, like, a proper studio.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
So, I've been putting his off because I was like, I need to go find a place to record. But I found one now, so.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. So, when we first recorded the first episode we did, well, before I even start asking, because I noticed you have so many more tattoos than the last time I saw you. I swear,
last time I saw you was what, in January?
Was it? I can't remember.
Yeah, because I came.
Oh yeah, it was New Year's, huh?
Because I came back to LA for Christmas, and then did a road trip, and up in Zion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I remember.
I can't remember what I had.
I think you only had you had the one that's going around. In
Oh, okay, this one and the neck one, right?
I don't know if you had the neck one. I mean, well, if you got it before that, then yeah.
Well, the two lines I got the same time as the neck.
Oh, okay. Then you must have. Maybe I wasn't paying attention.
So, yeah, maybe I did get all of this after.
Yeah, you got a lot more.
This one I got beforehand.
Yeah, I know you had some that were like upper that you already had.
This one I think was after.
Mm-hmm.
It just says Daydreamer Night Thinker because that's how I
describe myself. Ooh, you know what? I feel like I relate to that very much. That's me.
Yep.
For sure.
Daydreamer and Night Thinker. And then these ones I got recent. This piece, it kind of looks like a what's it called? It looks like a
the eye exam.
That's what everyone says, but technically the top one, because they're all acronyms that tie in with each other.
Uh-huh.
But the first one I really wanted to be love over fear for the seek discomfort half, but then it didn't really tie in with everything else, so I changed it. Yeah. So all together, it's life of fulfillment is doing what excites, full of adventures, because that's life. Whatever happens, happens.
Did you make this up or did you find this somewhere? Yep. You made that up?
All my tats are all just created by me.
That's dope. I mean, the fact that you could put that all together like that too is cool.
Yeah. And then, well, I actually tied that in all together after I got the tat. Mm-hmm. Because before it, I was like, love over fear, but it just didn't tie in with everything else.
Like they were all kind of separate things that you...
Yeah, said. Yeah.
Yeah.
This one says, chase your stars, fool. Life is short. It's off of my favorite poet, Atticus. And I wrote it in my own handwriting. I gave it to my artist and he wrote it out. So this is in my handwriting. Yeah, because the risk happy was, I think that's my favorite part. The one where I said that people are more comfortable being unhappy than uncertain. Because sometimes you have to be uncertain to be happy. So that's why it says risk happy. You gotta take the risk to be happy. Yeah. And then on the other side, it says get lost, stay wild, be free. And then this big piece.
Yeah, that's the one I noticed the most when I saw your stories.
This basically represents my move up here to Washington and like the whole new chapter half. So it's two snakes intertwined. One of them's fully shaded in black and the other one's not shaded in. So it kind of represents the yin yang balance.
Mm, mm-hmm.
The black snake has the galaxy basically because I love the stars. I'm a spiritual person. And then the whites are like the not shaded snake is PNW themed. So I just told my artist, I just want a PNW themed design on that snake. And then he just
kind of ran with it.
He just went with it. And he knows I have a view of Mount Rainier from my apartment here. So he put a geometric design of Mount Rainier, and he didn't even know, but one of my favorite numbers is 3. So there's literally 3 pine trees on both sides.
Oh, that's cool.
Of the mountain. It just happened like that. And then I'm probably gonna get like an eye right here and like a butterfly, but like half minimalistic and then half full detail.
Ooh, that'd be cool.
Because butterfly also has the meaning of rebirth since
the transition grow
out of that cocoon. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the transition. So that's another meaning. But also I was just talking about that, a few days ago in Portland with my friend over there. And I was saying like, because she has a tattoo of an eagle on her rib, and it represents for her grandpa, because when her grandpa passed, she saw an eagle on the way that when she was driving to him. And then when my grandma passed, I think it was like maybe a year or 2 years after, when I was hiking in the Angeles Forest in LA, all I saw were just like orange butterflies everywhere all the time. And there's like moments where I would get lost, but there's like that butterfly for some reason was like always following me, and it just like took me down a path, and I was like, oh shit. So maybe it was her. I don't know. But probably. Every time I saw that orange and black butterfly, I think it's called the monarch
butterfly. Yeah.
Yeah. But the first thought in my head was my grandma.
Mm.
So that's why I do want to get that butterfly on the back.
That's so crazy. I went to, where was I? I think it was in Arizona, and it was like for a work trip, and it was like one of my last days there, and I had the day off. So I was like, I'm just going to go wander around. And they had this, I don't know if you'd call it a conservatory, I guess, where they had, it was like a greenhouse with a bunch of butterflies.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was just like walking around there and looking. First of all, I did not know that many types of butterflies existed. It was crazy. And like some of them looked unreal. But then like throughout the day, this like one monarch butterfly kept like landing on me. And then just like staying with me the whole time. It would be like on my leg and then on my shoulder and then on my arm. And I was so crazy. I was like, this has to be like some kind of sign of something. I was like, I don't know what, but this is kind of crazy. So the last time we recorded, or the first time we recorded, it was in January of 2021. So it's been over a year. Yeah, shit. I know. It's been over a year.
Dang.
And I mean, I already know. Wow. A lot has changed because you've mentioned it a lot, how like a lot of things kept happening like right after we did the podcast. And I remember, so like one thing you mentioned was like not trying to, I think you already had plans of moving, but you hadn't moved yet. You were still like trying to get all that figured out. And you were talking about like your ideas for like the creative house and stuff. So like what's what's changed the most for you, do you think? I'm sure there's a ton, but
oh geez. Where do I even start though?
Well, okay, one thing to start with. You said your biggest passion was understanding more perspectives. Okay. Do you think, I'm sure that that has stayed with you, but if I were to ask you that now, would you still answer the same way, or you think that's kind of changed?
I think it'd still be the same. Like, I still have that curiosity, like coming here to Washington, not knowing anybody other than the two people, but they lived in Bellingham, which was like 2.5 hours north from here. So basically nobody in Seattle, but just like, I've always, I guess, just put myself out there for meeting people. Cause I guess ever since I read or saw that quote from Yes Theory saying that strangers are just friends you haven't met yet. Yeah. So it's just like, I just always believed in that. Mm-hmm. So just like, I've always just put myself out there and just to get to know people. And if like, hey, if it works out, I have a friend.
Yeah.
And if not, have a nice life. Probably won't ever see you again. But I'm like, cool.
At but even talk, then, it's like we had a cool experience together. We had a cool like time together. Even if it doesn't lead to more of a friendship or we don't ever see each other again, it's like it was still something enjoyable.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I think it's always worth taking that risk because you'll never know.
This is honestly very true.
Yeah.
And it's funny that like it's always so funny to me to speak to like you or Vinny or like anyone else I met like in that way and then speak to my friends or like my family who know nothing like about these kind of things and think that I'm crazy for constantly like meeting all these strangers. Like the fact that I will go, first of all, I go everywhere by myself, and every time I do, I end up like striking a conversation with someone new, and everyone always thinks like that's so weird. I was like, why? Like I'm meeting people, I'm getting to know people, especially like if I'm somewhere by myself, like it's fun to make new friends and meet new people. And then I think a lot of people too always have a kind of danger aspect to it, like when I'm traveling and stuff, and they're like, oh, you're just talking to all these strangers and hanging out with people you don't know and you're by yourself. I'm like, well, yeah, like of course I'm gonna take some risks sometimes. I mean, there's a line obviously, but I feel like I have a good gauge with people also. Like I can tell if you're a bad person or if you have bad intentions, and it's like obviously I'm not gonna keep hanging out with you, you know.
Yeah, you gotta trust your intuition, which
100%. Pretty
much majority of the time is usually right.
For me, it's always been right, honestly. Yeah.
But then also, like, when you meet new people, you can always just kind of tell, like, the more you interact with them, whether you'll still be friends with them or just, like, this is the one and only interaction you'll have with that person.
True, yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, either way is fine, personally.
Yeah. Because we wouldn't have met if that didn't happen, or if none of us found the Yes Fam community, or just, like, if you don't go out and talk, you won't really get to meet people, and then you kind of just sit there and you see your friends doing nothing, like, oh, I should have done that, I shouldn't have done that.
Or you just kind of sit in your own little bubble, and it's like you're not really experiencing anything doing that.
Yeah, because I think people misinterpret me doing that, because they think it's, for me, they think it's more like quantity over quality. But at the same time, you won't know whether someone's is like within that quality or like that quantity aspect unless you get to like talk to them or anything like that. But it's like I have like these, I guess you can describe it as like a target. It's like the outer circle is like the friends, and then you have like inner circles of the close friends, and you have like the family. And like that circle can always expand or retract.
That's such a good way to look at it.
Yeah, there's no like limit, I'd say, with how many people you can have in your life.
Yeah.
Because I think people just kind of put that limit because like, people are afraid, I guess, to get out of that comfort bubble.
Oh, for sure.
So it's going back. Yeah, it's going back to like that whole comfort zone kind of thing. Like people are afraid to go outside of it. So then when like they see new people, they just kind of put up a wall.
Yeah.
So it's like a lose-lose kind of thing, because like, what if that person could become your best friend, or they could be a partner, or anything really. I mean, that's how I met Miggy. That's how we became best friends, because we just started talking just like out of nowhere.
Yeah, so. That's so crazy how quickly how you guys got so close.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll admit I'm kind of guilty of that myself, because like, it is easy for me to meet new people, but it's not easy for me to make like deeper connections. So it's so easy for me to like go out and strike up a conversation with someone and we'll be like best friends for the day and then never see each other again, you know? Like, yeah. I do think I definitely put up a wall, and I don't know if it's just like, I feel like the older you get, at least for me, it seems like the older I get, the harder it is to make like good friendships, because I think you get more, I keep saying you, but I'm like generalizing, but this is me. I think I get more self-conscious of like what people will think of me, because I already have like this group that accepts me and that knows me. You know what I mean? So I think that's what I do personally.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. See, I can never really understand it, because my way of thinking of meeting people is just completely absurd compared to everyone else.
Yeah.
Because I'm just like, I just go up to people and start talking, and just like, if they're cool, okay, cool, we'll hang out. But it's like, I guess for me, I value my friendship or like my relationships with people a lot. So like, when I do meet people, I don't try to keep it just like surface level kind of thing. I try to dig deeper.
That's true. You do. Like, see, and I think sometimes it takes that one side to do that, and that's not how most people are. So I feel like for you to do that with people you meet, it makes it easier for them to be that way towards you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, also I feel like, and me and Venny have talked about this before, like people in Vegas are pretty surface level. Like, I don't know what it is. That's just kind of like the personality out here. So like whenever I do meet new people, it's like neither of us really dig deeper. And so it just kind of stays there the whole time. And it's like by the end of the night, it's like, well, this was fun. I know I'm never going to see you again. And that's how it is in most cases, which I mean, is like I said, I don't mind. But yeah, it's like for me, I feel like, and for most people, I feel like it's harder to make deeper connections with new people unless you find someone you like really click with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, see, because I think I did mention this before where I was like, because of that reason, that's why I'm more open with people. Like people think I'm really open, but to me it's just like, it's kind of like a normal thing now. But because I'm open, it gets people to open up.
It does. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why, and that's why I always have that curiosity and just like that pool to people, so I can like get to know them more on a deeper level. And because I do that, it just opens up all these gates.
Yeah.
And like, if they're not willing to, then it's not like a big deal or anything.
Yeah. I mean, you tried.
Sometimes like, because sometimes it's like, oh, I tried. Like, it's like, oh, well, over the what if thing, the whole life model thing again.
Yeah, that's true.
But sometimes it takes longer for people. And I still give people, like, if they're cool and, like, I vibe with them, then I give them that time. And, like, over time, they'll eventually open up about things.
Yeah, it takes most people more time than right away, like it does for you.
see, but that's what everyone thinks, but like there's still like another half of me that I don't share like off the bat.
That's as well. I mean, and I think that's okay.
Like my comfort level that I expose to others is very more open. It's considered more open to other people than
I mean, you don't need to like let everything out right away.
That's true. Because you could also scare people off too. Like, whoa, this guy is intense.
Yeah, that's true. I feel like I've definitely gotten sometimes into situations where like I will go too deep too fast, because also sometimes it's easier to open up to strangers. It's like, oh, well, you don't know me, so it doesn't matter. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've gotten into that before.
Yeah. But I was just thinking too, like moving here, it's kind of, because I think, I can't remember if I mentioned it in my first podcast, but like when I was in LA, because it's like I was born there and raised there, I got like too comfortable. So like coming here again, it was like a whole discomfort thing. So like I had to put myself out there to meet people, or else I wasn't gonna have any friends or anything. If you don't talk to anyone, mm-hmm. you're not gonna have any friends. Yeah, so it's like one of my favorite stories saying, because I now know a group of guys. I call them my boys, but I met them on the day they created the name for their band, and it was just Vince and I just having dinner at a park catching sunset, and then there's this guy, his name is Julian, he was like sitting on the bench next to us with his ukulele, eyes closed, jamming out in his own world. And I was like, you know what, I have like musician friends back at home in LA, I need some up here too. So I just waited for him to finish, and then I just walked up to him, introduced myself, and then I guess we just vibed right off the bat. And then another band member, Sean, he lives in a social house, and that social house, like, it's like a bunch of people, they're having a picnic that day at that park. So Vince and I met the whole house and like the rest of the band on that day, and this was probably like a week into moving here.
Damn.
And that was just all because I just walked up to him and introduced myself. I was like, hey, you're really good. And just started talking like that. And then now I'm actually in the works right now, designing jackets for them to wear during their shows.
Oh, shit. That's dope. Are you painting them?
Yep.
That's so cool.
And just like before, they fill out the form, and it's just like each of them is customized to each user. But then they all have the same like band name, which is their band name is called Balcony Bridge. Mm. They're like alternative rock, but they each have like the band logo like on the left sleeve or like the left chest.
That's so dope. I love that.
But each person has like their own back piece and everything.
Yeah. That's so cool. So are you still doing that though? Like your painting and like designs and stuff, or is that kind of slowed?
Yes and no. Well, yes, it has slowed down quite a bit, because coming here first, it was just like the first, I'd say, 3-4 months, it was just kind of figure out how to like set my roots down in this new city.
Yeah, of course.
Because when Vince and I first moved here, technically I was looking for a job, and that didn't end up working, because I was planning to go into like another law firm. I was like, oh, it's probably like an easy transfer, go from one law firm to another law firm. But then that didn't end up working. And then Vince knew someone that worked at Amazon. I think it was like one of his aunts or family friends, so she got us into Amazon, and then we did one test run of like delivering packages, and I was like, nope, I'm not doing this. And I literally just quit on that day.
Yeah.
And then for like the first month or so of here, Vince and I were like unemployed, and we were just like living off savings.
Oh shit.
Because we couldn't find a job. And then in that time, I was like, I moved to a new city to start a new chapter and like to meet new people. So I was like, why don't I try things that I've never done before? Mm-hmm. And I've always wanted to learn how to make coffee, because I want to backpack Europe one day and like stay there for like 3-4 months. And when I do that, I'll have to work and travel at the same time.
Yeah.
And there's like plenty of cafes in Europe. So I was like, you know what? I'm gonna learn how to make coffee. So now I joined Starbucks, worked there for about like 6-7 months. Because I quit on April 1st was the day I got this tat. I quit Starbucks and I drove all the way up to Bellingham, like 2.5 hours, and I got this tatted. But I did Starbucks. Because I'm a quick learner, so I learned pretty quick, and I became like a barista trainer as well. That was like super fun at the beginning, because I had really cool coworkers and everything. And then eventually drama and all this, and just like shit hit the fan. And I was like, all my favorite people were leaving. So I was like, damn, all right, it's time to go. Because it was also 30 minutes from here. So it's always a commute to get to work.
Yeah.
And I always did like opening shifts. So it was like 4 a.m., 5 a.m. in the morning.
Oh, shit. So you have to be...
I'd have to be there. I'd have to be there at 4 or 5 a.m. in the morning. So that means I would have to wake up or leave the house like at 3:30 or so. So that got tiring eventually. And I did, so I did Starbucks full time. And then there's the company that I work for right now, Outdoor Research, which is like a outdoor clothing brand, like North Face and Patagonia.
That's very
I never I never even heard of the brand before. The reason why I'm at the job is because of Vince, because he knew about it, because Outdoor Research, like REI, is one of our vendors, so REI has some of our products in stores, and that's how I guess Vince found out. And there was a store like right near us, so he stopped by one day and right on the windows is hiring.
Oh shit.
So we literally hopped onto there, and basically Vince and I applied for the same job, which was like customer service, but they were looking for a full-time gig. So Vince took that job, but there was like multiple positions that were open, but I didn't need another full-time because I was doing Starbucks because I really wanted to make, like, learn how to make coffee and like master that kind of skill. So I was like, I've never done retail either.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, if you have a retail job, then just let me know. And literally I was on a phone interview for about an hour or so. And then he was like, he's also from California. And he was like, and he saw my area code 31310. And he was like, we need to get you a job here. So he literally just talked to the manager downstairs in retail and just got me in.
Damn, everything just fucking worked out one by one. Yeah. And then you're also like picking up all these new things.
Oh yeah. I've done so many like different things that I've never done before, just like even thought about. But it's like, yeah. So I did like the retail for a little bit, quit Starbucks. Then I found a full-time gig at Outdoor Research, but they only had a warehouse job. So I sucked it up, did the warehouse job for like 2 months. And then now I'm back in the customer service department, so I can work remotely now.
Oh, that's cool.
So that, yeah. So then that means I can like travel more and just not worry about the days I book tickets and just, as long as I have Wi-Fi. Yeah. As long as I have Wi-Fi, I'm good. I'm chilling.
That's the dream. Especially for like, when like people like us that just want to travel all the time, like, that's perfect. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. And then I have more friends now, like in different states or like different countries that I do want to go visit. And I don't really have to like call off work. As long as I have Wi-Fi, I can just pretty much work from anywhere to the most part, is what they said.
I love that. My God, that's amazing.
Yeah. But I'm also trying to figure out how to do a collaboration with this company, with this outdoor clothing brand, because they've done collabs with local artists here in Seattle.
Oh shit, that would be so dope.
So yeah, so for me to work with customer service, our manager said that they work very closely with the design team and stuff like that, which is what I'm trying to aim for, it to be on their design team.
Yeah.
And figure out that, but then also do my own collab with the company as well.
Wow.
So she's like willing to like set me up in meetings so I can talk to them and I can figure out how to get onto that team without going through another like 4 or 5 years of school through design or anything, mm-hmm. because I studied mechanical engineering before, but that doesn't help me with anything with design or like graphic design or anything. So I already have my foot in the door, and I know everyone at our location, because we have two locations, but I know everyone at our location now because I've just been socializing with everyone, getting my name out so people know me and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so
that's such a good skill to have too.
Yeah.
That's really fucking cool. I hope you get to do that. Especially like already getting a start in with the company. I mean, that's the best way to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of just like, I mean, obviously with moving and like doing all that stuff, I feel like sometimes the things you want to do kind of have to take a backseat. So you haven't really been like doing the art and the design and stuff much.
The art has been slowed down, but like for my brand, because I still do plan to launch it this year.
Okay, that's cool.
But it's just been like delayed.
Yeah.
Months, because I really wanted to do it next month in July,
mm-hmm.
for the number 7. That's one of my other favorite numbers. I was like, it was either going to be March, July, or September. 3, 7, and 9 are my favorite mm-hmm. numbers. So I was like, it's going to be either or of those, but. I had a logo planned at the beginning of the year. And then I think about a month ago or so, I was just like, you know what? I'm going to redesign the whole thing. So I just started from scratch again, just redesigned it and everything. So it's pretty much, I'd say, 90% done with the new logo. But the name is still the same. It's still based off being a dreamer. Like, it's still called We the Dreamers. Mm-hmm. It's still based off the idea of being a dreamer. Like, you dream, do much bigger, you create that dream into reality, and then you inspire yourself and others at the same time. Mm-hmm. It's still the same motto.
Yeah, of course.
Because I have it tatted on me, so it's like, there's no change.
Can't go back now.
There's no going back. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, September is probably gonna be the launch month for sure.
Mm. So like, what are you planning on doing with that? Like shirts, jackets? Is it going to be more like a screen printed thing more so than your painting, or are you going to keep that?
It's probably going to be a screen printed thing, but I'm trying to figure out if I can incorporate like the art and the photography aspect, so I can see if I can print something on a fabric, which I can sew onto the piece of clothing.
Yeah.
But then also, like, since now, I guess since coming here, I've been more involved with like the city I live in. So ever since coming here, I've never really cared about going to sport games or anything. Mm-hmm. And now I've gone to like every single sport game that we have here, like hockey, soccer, baseball. I haven't gone to the football game yet, but I've been to like pretty much everything. I've always been a big soccer fan, so.
Yeah. You're like more involved, like.
Yeah. I'm more involved within the city. And then Seattle's pretty, I'd say it's pretty artsy or so, but mm-hmm. I've been going to like the same, I guess, farmer's market. It's called the Fremont Sunday Market. It's like a street market. It's mostly, it's like a mixture of art and food. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's more art than food, and sometimes more food than art. But I guess it's more, I guess it's the market that has the most opening, I guess, for artists, because I've met so many other local artists, and I just like talk to them and figure out how to set a booth. So like when I do launch the brand, I plan to like open, or like plan to set up a booth at one of these markets, like to do like a little soft launch of the brand before it goes public, like online and everything. So trying to be more involved with the city, because it's a huge artsy city, just like LA. And also Portland as well is very artsy city as well. So,
yeah. But I feel like, I mean, obviously I've never lived in LA, so I don't know. But it seems to me like Seattle would be more of a kind of, more of a city where you can find community, especially with stuff like that. Like with arts and things, than you would be able to in LA. Because it seems like, from the outside looking in, it seems to me like LA is kind of like Vegas, where it's like very city. Everyone kind of keeps to themselves and like not a ton of people involved with each other.
Yeah. It's more of just like there's a huge community, but there's no, it's just like before, it's like talking like LA is just like that surface level connection.
Yeah.
It's like it's a huge community. Like you can meet so many new people, but it's more so surface level. And then here it's still a community, but it's not as big as LA, but it's more homey. Mm-hmm. There's like a deeper connection with people and stuff like that. Like I've met like other artists just like randomly on the street, or like I went because I was trying to see if I can get into like NFTs with my photography, and that could be like another source of income or something. But when I went into the NFT workshop, I met another photographer who does street art, and he sets up, it's called Street Meet, which apparently it's like a nationwide, worldwide kind of thing. There was like one in LA, but he's in charge of this chapter here in Washington. But he basically sets up free, like majority of the time it's free meetups, like models and photographers can just show up. And he provides like the lights, like the background, like what you would need for like a proper photo shoot.
Wow.
And he just lets people build their portfolios like that for free.
That's so dope.
If he does rent out like a studio, then he charges like a small fee, and like the fees are like between like $10 and $20, which is nothing.
Yeah,
it's just like nothing compared to what you would pay if you rented out a place by yourself and did your own photo shoot. So it's like models who are like up and coming who want to go into that model industry will show up there and get their photos taken, or if photographers want to practice their art, they can do that too. So people just meet up randomly, and you like can in different help each locations. Other out. Yeah. And I just met him at the NFT workshop because he was trying to get into that. And I was wearing one of my art jackets, and he just walked up to me and he was like, "I really like your jacket." And I was like, "Oh, cool. Thanks." And we just started talking off of that. And then there's like, he told me about, there's like this other thrift shop that buys only local pieces from Seattle artists.
Oh, that's cool.
So then, yeah. So I have like,
more ideas.
So I've like thrifted some jackets where I can just design them and I can just go to that shop. I was planning to go to that shop and just sell them those pieces and then have them sell at their store and see how that goes.
That's cool.
And so, I wouldn't have known that unless he like walked up to me, or like I walked up to him or something. Yeah.
So, I mean, even though you say like the art and the design is kind of taking a back seat, I mean, you found so many other like outlets to be able to use with that.
Yeah.
It hasn't really like
it hasn't really taken the back seat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. It's always like in the back of the mind. Like I, and that's why like I do put myself out there, because like if you don't, then like all these opportunities wouldn't come to you.
That's so true.
Because some people like there's still that saying where like if it's meant to be, it will be. Yes, that's true as well. But sometimes you have to put yourself out there to get those opportunities. Like yeah. you can't just sit back and just wait and expect for that saying to work all the time.
Yeah.
Like you have to put yourself out there for, it's like you putting the energy out into the universe. And because of that, you get that energy reciprocated back.
No, like you can't, I completely agree. Cause I feel
you can't just sit there and just like, oh, I want to find,
it's going to find
like
me.
A producer or like something like that. You just sit there and just like not put yourself out there and not doing your art and your craft and expecting someone to walk up to you like, are you an artist? Like, let me help you out with this. That like, I don't think that's ever going to happen or anything.
Yeah. That's something that I feel like some people might not understand. And I've been hearing it a lot lately too, is like, whether it be like with things like that, like, oh, like what's meant for me won't miss me. Like if it's meant to be, it'll happen. That doesn't mean you don't put in the work to make it happen. Like you,
exactly.
Like you still have to put yourself in the position to get these opportunities. You still have to put yourself mm-hmm. in these environments to get these opportunities. You can't just expect things to like magically appear in front of your eyes.
Yep. I mean, if it was that easy, then no one would be doing anything.
Exactly. Like there is a certain amount of work and effort you got to put into it. Like obviously mm-hmm. there's like something I've been thinking about a lot lately is that sometimes things don't come to you in the path that you expect it to come to you. Mm-hmm. So it's like being open to that too. Of, you know, this is something you want and you probably thought it would come a certain way, but like don't reject the other paths and the other opportunities because that might lead you to what you want to do or to where you want to be. Yep.
Honestly, things never really work out the way you think they're supposed to be working
never.
Out.
Never.
Never. Yep. That's why you always got to keep an open mind.
Yeah, but it works like, out though.
Yeah.
It's just not how you pictured.
Yeah. But also I think a good thing as well when you're within like any community or like whatever your dream is like in life, like whatever you strive to do, to surround yourself with like a good solid community that does something similar to you or something the same. Yeah. Cause that just that helps you motivate you. Cause it's not always going to be sunshine and rainbows. You're like, you're working on it like bam, bam, bam. You're like, oh, mm-hmm. I love this. And then sometimes you get burnt out. You don't even want to do anything anymore. Just like there's days like you just want to quit. But on those days is like when you're surrounded by those people, they're the ones that will take you out of that hole and just like notice how far you've come and things like that. Because there's like one of my other friends, her name is Zane. She's a photographer and she's always just like she's done like really good portraits. And just like as of this past year, like the year before, she's been shooting a lot of concerts and stuff like that. And like the more she keeps going to these shows and shooting, these bands get to know her and they're like, the managers are reaching out to her rather than her reaching out to the managers about getting a photo pass. So yeah, so like now she's like super close to one of her favorite bands that she listens to and like they know who she is. Mm-hmm. So they like reach out to her to come to these shows to shoot them again and again. Like she shot, I think the band's called Almost Monday. Mm-hmm. She's been like, I've seen like posts and things she's posted from them like maybe 4 or 5 times or maybe even more than that, like within these past couple months.
Because she put herself in the position.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly.
That's how she got the opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that, like, just seeing that keeps me motivated on focusing on my, like, even though everything's been delayed, I'm still working on it slowly, just not as fast as I thought it'd be.
Yeah, and it's not like you've given up on it. You've just found other ways of like being involved in it for the time being.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why I feel like I this is like kind of inspiring me too, because I need to branch out a little bit more. Because when I'm home, I honestly don't. Like I don't meet a lot of people that live in my own city, and I don't have like a ton of creative friends that are into the same things that I am. So like even with this show, I plan on taking like a month or two off. I took like 6 months off because I got so overwhelmed, and I was just like, some days I was just unmotivated, and then other times I was like, this is too much, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I didn't really like have anything to look for to, I mean, I have a couple friends and I would reach out to them, but eventually I was like, I'm annoying. I'm texting these same two people over and over again. Like, how do I do this? I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just got to be a lot. But when you surround yourself with a lot of like-minded people, it helps so much.
Yeah. But then also like that community that you surround yourself with, they don't have to be in person. They can be an online community. That's as true. Well.
I didn't think,
because Zane lives across the country from me.
Mm. She lives in Kentucky. I assume she lives there.
Nope.
Oh shit. Okay.
I've only met her once in person, mm-hmm. and that was it. And then we've just been like constantly just like talking here and there about like our art and everything.
Yeah. Oh, yep. That's a good point.
Yeah, she lives across the country. Something I haven't seen her for maybe over a year. I haven't seen her.
Yeah. That's cool. And that is the thing about now, especially with how much access we have to like communication and stuff. Our community doesn't have mm-hmm. to be immediately where we are.
Yeah.
That's a good point. I'm going to also take that into consideration.
And also a thought came up into my mind, because when you were saying that you're like texting like the same people mm-hmm. about the same thing, you're like, oh shit, maybe I might be annoying or something like that. And like a quote popped up to my head. I was like, I'm pretty sure you've heard it before, but it was like, people that matter don't mind, and people that mind don't matter.
That's true.
So it's like, no matter how many times you text a person about something, if they like really care about you or like are within your field, it honestly doesn't matter. Like I text people like at midnight sometimes, like, oh shit, I have a cool idea. So I just text them.
Yeah.
And it's like, they don't mind at all. So it's like,
see, that's the thing too, is like, especially like these two friends in particular that I was asking like video editing questions all the time. Like mm-hmm. I know they don't mind and I know they want to help me, but it's like, I internalize that and I'm just like, oh, I feel annoying because I'm always asking you all these questions. I like texted them today and I was sometimes. Like, how do I do this? Because like, you know, it's like, I know that they're better at me. I know that they're better than me at video editing and all these things. And I'm like, mm-hmm. so of course I'm going to go to the people I know that are more experienced and like can help me through it. But then I guess I don't think about, like, I've had a lot of people reach out to me lately about starting a podcast, and like, I never mind it. And I will like, I'll always jump on a call with someone and like tell you whatever you need to know and like all these things. But then when it's mm-hmm. me, when it's reverse, I just like get in my head about it, you know? I can't.
For a second there, for like a month or so, I was really thinking of starting a podcast too.
Why not? I mean, even if
I was like, yeah, might as well.
Even if you just try and then you don't like it, well, then you tried.
Yeah.
I always encourage everyone. I think, honestly, I've had so much fun doing this, and I feel like it's been so much more fulfilling than I expected it to be. Mm-hmm. And so I have no plans of stopping anytime soon. And the fact now, like now that I have gotten over the overwhelming part of learning all the video aspects and like adding all that to it, mm-hmm. it feels so new and different that like, I just want to keep getting better now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I love it.
Honestly, I think the unexpected things are probably the best things.
Oh, for sure. Always.
Yeah.
And like in any aspects of life, the unexpected things are always the best things.
Yeah.
I think. But we share that same kind of mindset.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, I feel like it might have changed, but do you still have any plans of that creative house you were thinking of? Or is that kind of... has that changed? That also seemed like a big thing, like a big project.
Yeah. To me, honestly, I think it sounded better in my head. Mm-hmm. And then when I started to put like details into reality, I was like, oh shit, there's like way more work than I thought
I would imagine
needs to be put into this. Yeah. I mean, I still call this place our dreamer house because I have like all my art hung up and stuff. Like, oh, this is the dreamer house. Is like,
you're still doing what you this need is, to do.
I still think like it doesn't matter whether it's like a big creative house or not. It's just like in this household, what you're doing is your passion and what you think you're like on this earth for.
I like that.
You're pursuing what you want to do and not what anyone else does.
True.
And I'm not saying like throw everything away and just like focus on something and then like you go bankrupt and you're like, you can't do shit. And it's like, yeah. Sometimes yeah. things take time and you have to sacrifice
for sure
things. But still, that main goal is always in the back of your head. You're always working towards that goal.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's never going to be all sunshines and rainbows. But if you have that mindset and knowing that things will always work out in the end, then you can just continue down that path, regardless of how slow or fast you go down that path. As long as you're moving forward, I think that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think too, like, just not giving up if it's something you really want and something mm-hmm. you really love. Because I think like when you talk about time and like how long it takes, I think that gets to people sometimes. You're like, oh, I've been doing this for this long already and nothing's happened. Then why should I keep going? But yeah. I don't know. It's like, it's only those people who don't stop that are the ones that do something with it.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's this one, I don't know what I think she's an actress, but then she cooks and stuff. This woman I follow, her name is Tabitha Brown, and she, I don't know how old she is. And she like is just now starting to break out and like she cooks and she's starting to act and like do all these things she's always wanted to do. And she always says like, look how late in my life all this started. She's like, but if I would have stopped, then nothing would have ever happened for me. And I was like, damn, yep. That's a good point. You know, like it doesn't have to come by a certain time.
Yep. There's no age limit. There's no time limit. There's no limit to anything.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that Greek tat to me means is like infinite. It's like whatever you set your mind to, you will have infinite possibilities.
Mm. I like
so
that.
It's like no matter what time or whatever, how old you are or whatever, as long as you have that drive.
Yeah.
And that mentality, I think you can accomplish anything.
And the love behind it too. Like,
yes.
I think intention is a lot to do with it, because if you're doing something for the wrong intentions too, it's either not going to work out or it's not going to be fulfilling.
Yeah. Mm.
And that's important.
I agree.
So a little over a year ago, so you were just about to move. You hadn't moved yet. Basically just about to start over. If you could talk to yourself, you now could talk to yourself back then. 1 year ago, what would you tell yourself?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. I definitely would say stop spending too much and save your money more.
Smart.
Because moving does cost quite a bit of money and resources. And I did not expect to be like unemployed for a month, but like luckily I still had savings.
Yeah.
But like if I didn't, like, oh shit, I don't even know what I would have done. Then I didn't expect that. I thought everything was gonna work out. I was gonna have like a job lined up when I got up to here, like when I got up to here and everything, which I did, but it's like a job that I didn't like. So I was like, I'm not doing that. Because like when I quit that Amazon job, like the first thought that came to my head was like, I'm not gonna work a job that I do not like anymore. Like the law firm job was great at the beginning. Like eventually I just wasn't enjoying it as much, but I stuck it out because it paid well and had like all the benefits and stuff. And that's how they get you into all these jobs sometimes. It's like they provide you all these things that you need in life, but then really when you're doing that job, you just not like it at all. So I'm like, oh, also something else too, like when I meet people now, like new people, and I ask them like what they do, like literally the second question after they tell me what they do, I ask them if they enjoy what they're doing.
Ooh.
It's kind of just been like a habit for me. It's like I ask them like, are you happy with what you do? And like a lot of people here actually do enjoy what they do for a job. And some people don't, but they have that mindset. Like sometimes you have to suck it up and sacrifice for a little bit just so you can work towards their dream. And it's like when I hear those answers and stuff, those are the kind of people I want to surround myself with. Unintentionally, I guess, asking these deeper questions so I can see what kind of community or like what kind of people I'm surrounding myself with.